Well, hello, everyone. We hope everybody is doing well today. First of all, thank you very much for downloading this week's podcast episode. I am your host, Christian Salinas. This week's episode features a discussion with local filmmaker Nason Rumfeld. Nason is from Harlingen, Texas. And aside from being a filmmaker, Nason is also part of a Christian rock band. And being that he's somebody who's talented in both filmmaking and in music making, we decided to go ahead and break up our interview into two separate episodes. So this week's episode will feature a discussion with Nason about filmmaking, local filmmaking, and just filmmaking in general. And in a future episode, we'll talk to Nason about his music and what he hopes to accomplish with that. We were able to catch up with Nason earlier this week and had a conversation with him over the phone. And we'll go ahead and fade into that in just a minute. Just wanted to briefly mention, if you wanted to know more about Nason, or if you want to know more about us, Border Perspective, you can find a lot of information on our website, www.bpscast.com. And you can also find contact information there where you can contact us if you have any suggestions, questions, or feedback. And we'll go ahead and fade into our interview now with Nason Rumfeld. Nason, how are you?
I'm doing great.
If you want to just go ahead and we can start. First of all, where are you from?
I'm from Harlingen, Texas.
You're born and raised Harlingen?
I was, actually, yeah.
I mentioned you're a filmmaker. Now, is that how long have you been doing that? How long have you been working in short films?
I mean, as a kid, you know, like, I guess any kid I know with a video camera, I tried doing way too many more things than I should have been with that. So I guess that's where it all began. But on a serious level, I guess it really began to where I was making short films that I could say I care about, you know, that actually mean something to me around the age of 18.
Now, how old are you now?
I'm 25.
Oh, so you've been doing it for a while then?
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I think originally we met at the Wild Film Contest held
right.
by STC,
yeah.
and that was a while ago. I think the first time we saw some of your short stuff, and it was very impressive. We really liked it a lot.
Thank you.
What was it that motivated you to start working with film in the first place?
I believe it's part of my calling as a Christian. I'm very much into the idea of spreading the gospel of what I believe in, that Christian belief, through the medium of film, among other things. I believe my calling in life overall is just to do it through the medium in general, which, you know, entails movies and music and books and the like. But yeah, so, you know, movies are definitely a big part of that, a big passion for me.
What is the message that you're trying to get across?
I mean, anything from just revealing the wonder of God's love, I believe, to just the way he assists us in, you know, the little things that we maybe don't acknowledge him for, that, you know, we take for granted. And you know, just those special ways that he makes himself present in our lives that, you know, maybe go unnoticed, and that's too bad. But, you know, I like to reveal it in a positive way in something like a film.
Is there anybody that you feel is doing that right now in the mainstream, say Hollywood, for example?
I mean, it's definitely not something that Hollywood embraces very much. I don't think they see money in it. Understandably so. People get touchy about religious subjects and especially Christianity in general. But yeah, every now and then I'll notice some things in certain films that are very, very spiritually positive and a witness to me, even, you know. There's the most obvious references that could be made, like Mel Gibson's The Passion, and you know, it's a great film. I've seen movies like M. Night Shyamalan's Signs and Lady in the Water, and both gotten very, you know, positive things from them, and that God was very much present in those movies. And I believe that's something that all of us can embrace, in the sense that as I myself, you know, I'm here by the grace of God, you know, when I shouldn't be. And, you know, it really just makes me love him all the more and want to do more for him, and ultimately, you know, share that in something like a film or just the story that I'm telling, you know. I mean, if I can take something that has witnessed to me and share with others to witness to them, then that's the ultimate to me.
Is there? Do you feel though that there are serious movies, obviously, but do you feel that there is also room for other movies, or maybe on the lighter side?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I love many films. I'm a fan of very many films and very many filmmakers. I don't derive my inspiration purely from someone who would make a quote-unquote Christian film only. I mean, there's a lot of great films out there that deserve attention. I believe in that. I mean, if you're an aspiring filmmaker and you see this film, you're going to be educated pretty well on, you know, how a good movie should look and feel, and, you know, how things should be done correctly in a film like that. I just think it'd be great, you know, and I definitely want to be a part of it, if within all that, there could be someone who stood as a Christian example, you know, as a director, as a producer, actor even, to serve, you know, as an example to others that, you know, Christians can do the same thing if they want and still make a great film. Because, you know, again, this is arguable, but I don't believe that a film needs things like profanity or, you know, the inclusion of a sex scene to make it a great film. A lot of very well-made films, you know, have been made that included those things, and I can't, you know, I'm not about to stand on a pedestal and say otherwise, you know. I mean, look at the classic films, you know. They didn't need that to get by with something great, you know. And I think it's too bad that we've lost that that standard, that moral, you know, ethical standard when it comes to filmmaking.
Has there been any films recently that you felt were just incredibly offensive?
Incredibly offensive?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, a good deal of them are, you know, now more than ever. I mean, it's gotten to the point where a movie can get an R rating now that back in the day would have been released as pornography. I guess it's hard to give you an outright example because, I mean, I just don't go see those kind of movies. I mean, it's just very easy to find out what's in a movie ahead of time now, you know, because of the internet and everything. So I don't really see any movies like that. But any R-rated comedy that comes out now is for sure, you know, very much probably based on some kind of vulgarity or the practice of, you know, the plethora of sex jokes, you know, and whatnot. But, you know, again, like as far as comedy goes, I mean, as much as I love and even prefer the dramatic side of film, I very much appreciate comedy and the art of it, because there really is an art to it. I don't think it requires or is necessary at all to be, you know, necessarily vulgar in it, or, you know, to include language in it, you know, just anything like that. I mean, there's a lot of great comedy that's gotten by with being genuinely funny without having to use that. So if they can do it, then so can we, is what I see.
Right. So where would you stand on the argument? Now, there is there are those who say that filmmakers, especially Hollywood or mainstream filmmakers, they make a certain type of movie because they know that that's the certain type of movie that audiences are going to go see. And I mean, that's obviously it's a business to them.
Oh, yeah.
And they need to make movies that are going to make money. Do you think that makes it okay for them to do what they do, or to put the content that they put into movies?
Oh, I mean, I don't think I'm anyone to judge anyone else, in the sense that just because I wouldn't do it doesn't mean that I expect everyone to just wake up and be like, you know, me in my mindset or anything. I'm in no room to judge anyone for anything to do like that. I don't aim to condemn anyone, to, you know, to offer a condemnation to anyone like that.
I mean, with all of this conversation that we're having, is there something on the other side of the coin where has there been some things, some very positive things in recent Hollywood movies that you like?
Yeah, certainly. I guess there's still plenty of films that are being released that, you know, something very meaningful in them is being said. And I mean, like I said, I appreciate whenever comedy is achieved without just being totally content filled. And there's some great love stories out there. I mean, those kind of things, they reach me, you know. Like if they're well done, if they're based on, you know, what I feel is something genuine and not something just, you know, the world wants to hear and that is going to make the money. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to seemed pretty purposeful to me. I did see Tron Legacy. I saw Legend of the Guardians back when it came out. And those are both movies that the whole family can see and not be, you know, concerned about anything in particular, and they're very entertaining.
Which would you say was the last movie you saw that was able to reach you with their story, with the content?
Let's see.
Or I guess I could ask, which genre sort of lends itself more to that? I mean, would you say drama, science fiction, ancient or historical films, or...
I'd say drama overall. You get the most done with... I mean, it's definitely the widest of the genres, and that a lot falls into it. But I'd say drama.
Is there a director or, say, a movie studio that you appreciate for its visual style?
Yeah, I mean, Zack Snyder as a director is very, he is a visionary. Out of people I can think of, you know, in recent years offhand, he's probably doing the best work with slow motion that I've ever seen. Just, you know, for example. But I guess I wouldn't just outright say he's one of my favorites or anything. He's definitely talented. He's very good at what he does.
Are you looking forward to the to his version of Superman?
I wasn't a big fan of Superman Returns, to be honest, so I'm hoping it's not like that, but I would imagine it probably wouldn't be. But I actually am like a big Smallville fan, though.
Do you think that they should have used Smallville's Superman, what's his name?
Tom Welling, of course.
Tom Welling. Right? Do you think they should have used Welling?
I'm completely biased. It's, you know, I have to say yes because I like Smallville, and that's, you know, the Superman I like seeing. So,
just coming back more towards your work as a filmmaker, you also write your own scripts, right?
Everything. Yeah. I've never worked off the script on my own, I guess.
Yeah, and I remember seeing some of your work, and you seem to have, a wide cast of characters. Who are these people that are helping you make your films?
They're all my friends. It's never anyone I've, you know, hired or had. It's always just kind of been, you know, hey, I'm making this movie. I need you in it. I need you to assist with it. If you can, and you know, when it happens, it happens. And if it can't, then I either take care of it myself, or, you know, we ride around it. That's about the way it goes.
Right. As far as I guess to anybody who's listening to this podcast, and just I guess as far as the technical side of things, what kind of do you really think that it's necessary to have sort of a big production set, I guess, or a big production equipment to be able to sit down and just make some short films?
No, you can make some excellent stuff with very little people, and, you know, both cast-wise and crew-wise. It really depends on if that script you got is any good, you know? There have been feature-length films that had barely anyone involved in the production that have been great. It really just depends on the film, you know? You can't make something like Transformers with a small cast and crew, but you also don't need a big cast and crew, you know, like what would be on the set of Transformers to make something like Napoleon Dynamite.
Locally, in the local independent film scene, have you met other local filmmakers?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times, like the film festivals or I just end up meeting them randomly, and they, you know me because they've either seen something I do, or I know them because I've seen something they do.
What do you think, because you've been doing this for a while now, how do you think the progress of the local independent film scene is coming along?
The local scene is, I mean, it's a little rough in the valley, in the sense that we're pretty cut off resources. I mean, the bulk of us are dealing with little to no money, and that means little to no equipment, and, you know, and just so on. The scene here in the valley is such to where the interest is there, and that's great, because it's not for where you go. But I just think it's very hard because even though we're in Texas, we're still pretty disconnected from a great deal of Texas where things are more, you know, primary as far as film goes, like Austin.
What do you think would improve the local film scene?
I mean, it'd definitely help if there was more. I mean, like I said, I think the interest is there, but it is kind of kept in a community within a community. And maybe it'd help if that, you know, was more widespread. And it really just kind of needs to be that, you know, maybe we need to work harder at making really exceptional things and really put ourselves on the map in that way, in that we deserve the attention rather than just expect it because we're doing it, you know. But even aside from that, it does take money to make films, you know, in that you're going to have to spend something along the way. Like, I'm all for going out there and not spending anything and getting a film made. I mean, you can do it, but, you know, you're eventually going to write a certain script or have a certain idea where it's going to require you have some money, you know, something, some kind of resource, you know, or you're going to want your film to look a certain way and you're not going to have the camera to do it, so you're going to need money for that. I mean, it takes money to do this. And I guess it'd be, I don't know, nice, you know, like as long as we're dreaming here, to have more of an interest in things like film grants being given out. But again, I mean, people are willing to do that when they see reasons in which to do it. So it is really still more up to us to, you know, reveal purpose within our material.
Now you write your own scripts for your films. Now, you told me you're also working on a novel. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've been wanting to do for quite a while. I mean, I know I'm still young now, but I've loved writing, you know, since I was a kid. So it only feels natural to me that I should work on stories in that way, because as much as I love movies, I love books as well. I mean, they're two different ways to tell a great story, you know, to me. A lot of people, you know, they prefer books and not movies, and then vice versa. You know, people say, read the book, you know, and it's better than the movie, but then, you know, sometimes they're right, and sometimes the movie's better than the book, you know. It really depends on the story, but, and so I started working on this first novel, something called You Would Turn, which is, I guess without giving anything away, and just to sum up and pique your curiosity, just the story of, not to sound cliche, but the story of a boy and a girl who come from very different walks of life, but yet have something very peculiar in common. And when they both realize this, it kind of draws them closer together and shows them things, I guess, they never were able to see and feel, you know, before because of their rough past. And it's just a story of them kind of facing the challenges of the world as they go through this, you know, peculiar similarity they have together. And it's, I know that sounds very vague, but it's that if I say anything more, it really gives away.
Well, we're just about out of time here. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to maybe, I know you have is there a place where people can sort of just keep up with your work? I know you have a YouTube channel, right, where people can check out?
As far as things I've been in the past go, I've definitely done a lot of practice through a comedy sketch show that I collaborated with a friend of mine named Matthias Varbel on, called Exceptional Yeti, which you can find on the online at youtube.com/exceptionalyeti, and that's Yeti as in like the mythical Himalayan Sasquatch, you know, just Y-E-T-Y. So, you know, they're all silly things that were made, you know, to be very comedic, and like I said, you know, we're very big fans of comedy that doesn't need to have, you know, content necessarily to be funny, and that's what we deal with, and that's, and I mean, I love making people laugh, you know, that's a medicine in itself, I believe, and that's biblical even, But I definitely am more into the idea of dramatic filmmaking and would really like to pursue that more. I just believe that it's very, very much easier to get away with an effective comedic film when you don't have such good equipment, you know, and when things don't sound so good, because, you know, when it's silly and lighthearted, you can kind of look past that more. When it's dramatic, I think you really need to present the film well as you can, at least, and really just kind of get into the mindset that it needs to be of just a notch, you know, higher in quality, if not several notches. It is several things making, you know, one great film, not just one thing.
Well, that's about all the time we have for this week's podcast. Thank you very much, Nason, for being with us today. And we'll definitely have links available to where you can find some of Nason's work. And also wanted to mention that Nason is actually also a very talented musician, and we do plan on having him as a guest on a future episode to talk about his music and what he hopes to accomplish with that. So thank you once again, Nason, for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's episode.